Tonight, the conventional wisdom and theology and the scriptures in some way bear out that, especially like in verse 20, that this is talking to a corrupted world, a world that from the very beginning, even though that many of them were not associated with God, verse 20 tells us, the creation of the world, are clearly seen being understood by the things that are made. The things that God made, if they would search their hearts, if they would search their conscience, and reveal that they ultimately know that there had to be a creator to create all that there is. So that takes care of the part that this is something that the world from beginning up until our day and time, there's a knowledge of that if they would be honest with themselves and search themselves. But we're going to go beyond that because we see that Paul in these verses is telling us of a people that actually knew God. We're talking about a people who God says, they're my people. And they had a special relationship with God, and they had more knowledge of God, and they had more duties from God and more responsibilities from God, and therefore when they failed God, their failure was greater. And we're in this message tonight, we're comparing then and now and what they did and what we're doing, and we're going to see where the road they went down. We're going to see the road we're going down. We're going to see their end result. And if we don't turn, we're going to see our end result. Now we see that these people were God's chosen people. The heathen that were there in that day and time, God spoke to them rarely. He did speak to them. He would speak to this king and use him to influence Israel one way or another, or to destroy Israel, or to let Israel survive. He did occasionally, but by far and large, he didn't speak to the heathen that much. But notice in the wording, he did speak to the Jews. He said, these people hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's hard to hold something you don't have. If you don't have it, how are you going to hold it? So in order to hold something, hold something in an unrighteous way, first you got to get a hold of it. So they held it, and then they held it in an unrighteous way. He said that they were, in verse 20, without an excuse, in verse 21, they knew God. Now, again, you can go search the scriptures all you want, and you're going to find most of the time that the heathens, they say, who is your God? We've got our God. We don't know nothing about your God. Even in Paul's day, Mars Hill, God said the one you're ignorantly worshiping, they didn't even recognize God in Paul's day. So we're talking about a people that knew God, but they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain. Now see, they didn't start out this way. They started out on the right track, but then they became vain. And in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. So I want you to notice a couple words there, and we're going to go over into 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7. Couple words there, they became, but who is that? You know, you need to know who, there's a lot of things in the Bible we need to know. We need to know who's talking, we need to know who they're talking to, and we need to know the current time they're talking about, if we can. Because all those are important factors in rightfully discerning the Word of God. So, first we want to find out who they is. And when we turn into, I'm saying all this to give you plenty of time to turn, because a lot of times I'll say, turning, and I'm halfway through reading before people get there. So I'm trying to do better after all these years anyway. For in verse 7, for so it was the children of Israel have sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. And we all know this story very well. And we go on, and they walked in the statutes of the brethren whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. Now, we're not going to spend time on that, but God didn't want them to make kings. They decided to do that, and so he allowed them to do it. And their kings led them astray just as bad as anybody. If they had followed God and not man, they may not have gotten the situation they got in. So that's what happens when you look into a man to get you, lead you. Look to God. All right, the children of Israel did, now notice here, they did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. They thought they were hiding it from God. They done them in secret, starting out. But then they got bold and brazen on down the line. They didn't care anymore. Remember, we're comparing then and now, how things started out in secret, and then people got bold and brazen as time went on. And then finally it said that they built them high places in all their cities, from the Tower of the Watchman to the Fence City. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. Listen tonight. They provoke God to anger, and we can read and see the results and the consequences thereof. We don't need to provoke God to anger. We don't need an angry God bringing down his wrath upon us tonight. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we was talking about conditions, and I'm staring away from my message a little bit, but let the Lord lead. We was talking, and everybody knows how bleak maybe things look. I said, I'm surprised that we're this blessed. I'm surprised things are as well as they are. You look at what's going on and how God has held back judgment as compared to times and what he can. We're well blessed by God. God has extended mercy. He's extended a lot of mercy down to people that are not listening to him. And he said, yeah, but I'm living, I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Listen, just as it rains on the just and the unjust, sometimes God's people get caught up in the wrath as well. According to the scriptures, that happens sometimes. And so we don't want God angry at anybody, because we might get caught in a crossfire, if you will, when God's aiming at them, if you might put it in a kind of a, not a good way. Verse 12, for they served idols where the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Now listen, these people, again, we're not talking to a bunch of people that did not know. That's the thing about it. That would be one thing, to be talking about people that didn't know. But they knew. They knew better. And he said, you shall not do this thing. Yet, and this is what God said. Verse 13, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn you from your evil ways and keep, and listen closely now, and keep my statutes, keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. That was God's message to this disobedient and gainsaying people. He said, if you'll just turn, and that's what people need today, is turn and repent. He said, turn from these things. Well, here's their response. Notwithstanding, again, this is their answer, their reply to God, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity. Remember over in Romans chapter 1 and 21, it said they became vain. Notice this. And they followed vanity and became vain. And went after the heathen that were round about them concerning whom the Lord had charged them. God specifically told them not to do like the heathen did that was around them. And yet, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Now think about it. These heathen were supposed to be driven out and destroyed, all of them. When they went in, they were supposed to do it. They didn't do it. They left some. And lo and behold, when they left them, these heathen, some of their cultural influences began to rub off on them, off on the children of Israel, God's pure people. He said, don't be defiled by these people. And yet, in matter of fact, get rid of all of them. Either drive them out or destroy them, but we don't need them around. Instead of doing that, they began to take on the lifestyle of the heathen. And they started out slow, I'm sure. They'd worship a false idol here and a false idol there. And then they'd go into doing a little bit of worshiping of their false gods. And then it went into big time sin. They would go on up and they would do as we read in these other places up here where they would burn incense and they would set up images in high places. And they tried to do everything that the heathen did that was contrary to God. Know him better. They tried to imitate them in every way. And the Scripture even tells us that they actually got better at it, or worse at it, depends on how you would look at it. In other words, they done a better job of worshiping false gods than the heathen did. They even went at it in a more zealous way. They were more evil. The Bible tells us this. They were more evil and corrupt than the heathen were. That's absolutely what happened. Now, remember, then and now. Started out slow, started out secret, built up. All of a sudden, they were indulging. It was and saturating. You know, that's the way it happens. It's kind of like at the kudzu grass or whatever, it starts growing, you can't get rid of it. It's all over the place. That's what happened there. Verse 16. They left. Now, this is important to remember, too. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God. All of them. And we're gonna go and study that law in just a bit. Bear with us. They left all that law. They left every commandment God gave Moses in the Mosaic law. It says here they left every one of them. That was a lot of law. If you go over and read, your mind kind of, God forgive me, your mind kind of get a little numb reading all those laws. But they're important. They're there for a reason. But they left every one of them. And they made a molten images, even two calves. And made a grove and worship all the host of heaven. And that's important to remember too. And they served Baal. And they, in verse 17, they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. You know what? We've come full circle today. We read things like that and we say, how dreadful. It's amazing how far we've come in the last 40 or 50 years down the wrong road. Listen, there's things happening in our neighborhoods that would not even have happened in our nation 50 years ago. Now there's divinations all throughout our land and enchantments. It says here that they sold themselves to do evil. They were selling themselves as prostitutes in the temple, men and women. It's being done today. Witchcraft being practiced, Satan worship, every false idol under the sun is within our midst. And the sad thing about it all is that some of the people that are doing these things, if you look hard, you would probably find their name on a church book somewhere. God help us to repent. God help us. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel. Verse 18. And rightly so. Now, we've got to remember that we're not better than they were, although that seems to be the mindset of people. He was angry with them, removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also, Judah couldn't be the Lone Ranger. They had to go wrong too. They weren't going to let Israel go down that road without them, so they did wrong. They kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. Here's what happened. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he cast them out of his sight. Verse 23 says, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all of his servants, the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God taking away segments of our people, moving them to other countries? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. But we know that God, if He gets angry, we're at His mercy as we always are. But He can do anything He pleases. We're not better than they are. We're not better than they were. Anything can happen. Going back into Romans. Verse 22 and 23. I'll read 21 again. 21 is just the central of it all, basically, more or less. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Now we know who they were. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, in verse 22, they became fools. Again, when you see wording like that in the Scripture, you see a trending away from something. They were something and they became something else. They weren't fools to start with, but they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to beast and four-footed beast and creeping things. I'm going to skip verse 24 just for a moment because we're coming back to it. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God. Oh, before we say that, in verse 23, when they changed the glory of God into all these corruptible, creeping, four-footed things, remember the two golden calves they worshiped? There you are. In verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Now, this is the mini message, and I wish I had time to make it the big message, but we'll condense it all we can. I want to talk just for a minute about serving the creature more than the Creator. Now, listen. God's Bible, God's Holy Word is clear to us on everything we need in this life to live a life that is pleasing to Him and live a life that is suitable. That's our goal. Our goal is to live a life for Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. And He gives us everything. It's a good roadmap. It's a good guide. It's full of all that. If we search. And listen. God's got an enemy, and we got an enemy, and his name is Satan. And he uses subtle things, And he uses all kinds of things to very discreetly lead God's people astray. He don't jump out there and always, sometimes he does, but normally he don't jump out and throw a big sin up in front of your face because you're going to be looking for them. But he will just slip them in candidly. And so we're talking about people serving a creature more than a creator. I want to talk, and don't get me wrong in this text, because it's going to sound maybe like I'm cold, maybe, but I'm not. I read years ago, about 8 years ago, in Japan, and I'm not picking on Japan, that just happened to be the factoid I come up with. There are more pets in that nation than there are children under the age of 15. Now that's astounding, isn't it? And we spend, as a people in our country, billions of dollars on pets. You go every now and then, run through the Animal Channel or Discovery, one of those, I saw where this, I'll never forget this. If I lose my memory, I'll probably remember this sight. There was a team of surgeons, mind you, with millions of dollars worth of equipment operating on a turtle. And I mean, things like that stick with you. And then later on, hopefully it wasn't the same day. I probably couldn't have took it. I turned around and there was a dog psychic telling the person how the dog felt about its owner. And then on down the line somewhere else, you can find if your dog has, or cat, I guess, if your pet, we'll say, or your bird, I don't know, whatever, has emotional problems, take it to a pet psychiatrist and get it help. And you know, this is how people have gone over and above board in the creature over the creator. Now that's leading into something more substantial. That's just superficial there. But it is the little things that lead to the bigger things, as we see so many times. I'm often reminded how that we've come to serve them more than they serve us. They were put here for us, not us for them. I'm reminded of an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies when Jethro was trying to get old Duke to fetch a stick, and Jethro would throw it, get out on all fours, hands and knees, run, get the stick, bring it back to old Duke. Duke just laid there. Well, he done that a bunch of times, and he finally told Jed, he said, "Jed, this dog's dumb. He's just dumb." And Jed said, "Well, he don't look too dumb to me. He taught you how to fetch a stick." So he became servant to his dog. We have increasingly become, and now, again, don't get me wrong, I love animals as much as anybody. If you look on my clothes, you probably see cat hair and dog hair. You can't walk through my house without stepping on a cat or a dog, probably. We ain't got that many, but they're always underfoot, the ones that are there. So that's not the problem or the point. They have a place, and they're necessary, and they're great, and they're good, and they're God's creatures, and He knows every sparrow that hits the ground. And anybody that abuses one of them, you know, I don't know. There's something wrong with people abusing animals. That's not it. But you know, in our nation, we sacrifice the livelihood of thousands of people. We sacrifice their livelihood in order to save a spotted owl or a snail or a field mouse. There are thousands and thousands of acres of farmland in California going to waste because extreme people won't let them touch it because they're afraid they'll run over a mouse with a tractor. This is all true. Now that's extremism. We do all these things, and then at the same time, we see parents throwing their children out on the street. Now, something is wrong with that picture. God cannot be pleased with this. These extremists on these animals, they want to give every consideration and allow every consideration to animals above man. Above man. Because they actually, they worship. They're worshiping the creature more than the one that created them. And we get into that point. And listen, they worship stars. They worship all these things. But you know what? That's Satan's backdoor policy to get people away from God. You read, you study the Word of God, and animals are used all throughout the Bible in good ways, bad ways. He threw all them evil spirits, Jesus dead in them swine, and run them off the cliff. But they're used, if they're used the way God intends for them to be used, great and good. Any creation of God. But we could take anything God's created and worship it instead of Him, and we have sinned and done wrong. That's what these people did. They worshiped the host of heaven. Moving on down. Now we're going back to verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And we will read 25 because it does tie in. It's not, I just pulled it out, but it's part of it. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. They changed the use of their bodies, the dishonor of their bodies, because of their lust. In verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile infections. For what cause? Because they worshiped the host of heaven. Because they worshiped everything and anything there was to worship except the true and living God. Knowing all along that they were going against what God had given them to do. And because of this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Now let's look over. We said we was going to get to that law in a minute. I told you I will stop at some point in time. Leviticus. If I got to preach more often, I probably wouldn't preach this long. Leviticus 18. Remember what was said in Kings 17, verse 13, keep my commandments according to all the law, talking to the children of Israel. And in verse 16, in that same chapter, it said, they left off all the commandments. In other words, they stopped them all. Well, this is part of the bigger scope of that law that God gave Moses to give to them, starting with chapter 18, I don't know what I said, but it's chapter 18 and verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. You know, it's the most defiled, despicable sin from God, from His viewpoint. He didn't say it's sin. He said it's abomination. Neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. Notice, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And we read about those heathen nations. And the land is defiled. You know, it's bad enough the people defile themselves, they defile the land as well. The Bible's pretty clear on that too. The land is defiled before, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these things. any of these abominations, neither of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever, he didn't put a limit there. There is no limit. He said, just like whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That included all mankind. This is including all mankind. Whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. We live in the greatest nation, arguably, that's ever been on the face of this earth. God has extremely blessed us in so many ways. At this time and point in history, we need to stop and think about us being here now when we're here. But at the same time, our land is becoming increasingly defiled by these same sinful acts of people. These abominations that took down the children of Israel are infiltrating and consuming the people in our country. And it's just a few, I know, but you would think they were in the majority by the way that people react. We don't need to think that we're exempt. Is God going to vomit out what's causing this land to be defiled? We need not rear back and say, I'm better. We're better than they. The Jews in Jesus' time thought they were better too, but they weren't. Remember what happened 70 years later. You know, God gave these laws way before we read that other. He knew how them heathen lived. He knew that they lived the way they lived, and he specifically gave them specific rules concerning how they lived so they would not do that. It's like they couldn't go in and say, well, I didn't know about all that. Yes, you did know, because you've had it given to you and read to you and explained to you over and over. And that's another thing. And God, he repeated stuff a lot in the old Bible because he wanted to make sure they got it and got it right. You know that? You think about it. We've read and we've studied a lot in the Old Testament, especially back in Genesis. They just handed it down word of mouth, you might say. But they would repeat verbatim this word and then go tell it again and then go tell it again, because they didn't want to get one word of it wrong. So they can't say, we didn't know. They had the law. They had it read to them. They knew about it. They had knowledge of it. Now, they were people that knew God, and God knew them. They were His chosen people, His elect people, and they chose to take on the sins of the heathen about them, and they paid the consequences. Back to Romans. If I can find it. Reading in verse 26 and 27. That's what we've already read. What these people did. They did all these things. The Bible we just read, they broke every law there was. Every one of them. The one with the laws we just read, they were guilty of those. They were guilty of passing their children through the fire, sacrificing their children. They done broke every single commandment there was to break. But what are we going to do? What are we going to do? God expects His people to stand up and speak out. And some people are timid. We're becoming under increasing pressure to compromise the Word of God. It's gotten to the point that God's people are timid and fearful to say anything about sin, afraid of repercussions. And that's dreadful. It's terrible. We've got to take a stand on this thing. Listen, this is Satan at his worst. He's pushed this to the front. He's thrown the challenge out. He's challenged God and God's people in this matter. And he's thrown it to the front in every aspect of people's lives. You cannot walk down the street, out the door, in the workplace, turn on any airway that is not saturated. It's from Hollywood to Washington and all points in between, and especially bad in schools. It starts with kindergarten on up, indoctrinated. And if some people had their way, it would be mandatory. In some places it is, hard enough to believe. It's taught whether the parents like it or not. What a turn we have made in this nation. What a turn we have made. You know, it's all sin's bad, but this one breaks down the very fabric. Homosexuality breaks down the very fabric of society. It destroys souls. Again, it's Satan at his worst. He's determined to bring down one of God's most sacred institutions of marriage. He's determined to destroy that. And in all of this, like Brother Jeff brought out so great this morning, that Jesus, who died for the sins of the world, He died for every sinner, for every sin. And these people, if they're a fornicator, an adulterer, a homosexual, a murderer, His blood covers all of that. It takes away all the sins of the world. They can get on their knees and get God's forgiveness just as quick and easy as anybody else. We love them. We love their soul. We hate their sin. We don't want the world telling us we're bigoted and fools and mean and evil, but that's what they do because that's the work of Satan. It's not mean to try to get somebody to heaven, and it's not evil, but they hold the truth in a lie. They've made evil good and good evil in the sight of people. And there's the pressure. What are we going to do? Where is our stand? What's going to happen when it gets worse? We need to know now, and we need to settle in our hearts and our minds as best we can what we're going to do with it. If it were up to a lot of people, some states have already got it. If it was the law, if it was up to some people, the law of the land would be, the whole nation, that you would have to recognize the so-called, which is not, same-sex marriage. And if that were the law today of the land, and thank goodness it's not, and someone came to Brother Jeff or I and said, or two men came and said, we want you to perform this ceremony, or two women, we've got a choice to make, because we can say, we can compromise and something we know is wrong because we know the repercussions, or we can go ahead and do that. If we say no, the consequences could be, well, you won't preach no more. That's it for you. That's it for me. If you're now a criminal because you just broke federal law that says that this is permissible. Now, I'm talking in theory, but it could be even worse. And furthermore, if you don't do this, we're going to just take you right on to jail for committing a criminal act, failure to keep this law of the land. Peter and John said we ought to obey God rather than man. If it comes down for that, I hope my heart is that I had rather be in jail with God by my side than to compromise His word and let Satan have his way. We won't know until it happens, if it happens, when it happens. But we need to think about it and try to persuade ourselves that we will take the stand necessary in that day and time. It's come a long way, listen. It's come a long way. I want to read, and we are coming to a close pretty quick now. Verse 28 through 30. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, talking about them, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know, you wonder why people can't see and understand. Even, you know what's so sad about all this is the churches, the religious leaders of the so-called, so many of them have given in to this stuff and have okayed and ordained them in their churches. And they've allowed this to infiltrate. And all they do is bring a shame and reproach upon God. And all they do is give fodder for the lost world that's trying to bring us down, more ammunition. It's a terrible thing. But a reprobate mind is, in my understanding, is a mind that's void of judgment. They don't even know right from wrong anymore. It's a mind that can't comprehend what's right. And they received that from God because of their indulging iniquity. God gave them over to do the things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. They make up. I mean, if they ain't enough evil, they'll create some more. They're creators of evil. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now, we say, these things can't happen. Listen, 30 years ago, we wouldn't have believed what we're seeing today. 20 years ago, we wouldn't have believed what we're seeing today. Even 10 years ago, we would have not thought this thing possible. If God tarries, what's going to happen in 10 more years? God help us. God help this nation to repent. We need people that would repent. And God's people need to pray every day for a repentance to come for His people. It's going to be led by His people if it comes at all. It's not coming from any other source. Now, again, all this stuff now, it's put out there as good. It's all good and we're all bad. But we need to know in our heart what God's Word tells us is good and what's evil, what's right and holy and what's sinful. And if we don't know, find it out in the Word of God and by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and call upon God's people and find out. When in doubt, find out. And finally, coming to a close in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such thing, that's talking about us directly, I think, knowing the judgment of God, we know that when they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Like we said, it was all around them seeping in. And now, it's all around us trying to seep in. And people are trying hard to bring it in. Bring it in. We've got to take and stand against it. And I'll go even further and say, we've got to take a stand of people that support it. Because they're evil. They work for the devil. Satan's got If you don't think Satan ain't got people out there doing his job and his bidding, then you just need to go look back and read the Bible some more. I even read when we was talking about in Persia. And I don't remember the exact scripture at that time, but Michael the archangel got delayed coming to talk to Daniel. 3 weeks, 21 days. He got delayed coming to talk to Daniel because he was fighting, helping the princes of Persia fight against evil. And the Persian princes, leaders, were under evil influences. Sinful. Evil. You don't think that this is a fight and a warfare? You don't think people are out to destroy God's people? We need to wake up. Because there's a war going on. It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. It always has been. As long as there's good and there's evil, there's conflict. And the only way to eliminate conflict is all be good or all be evil. Until that happens, we ain't going to get along. There ain't going to be no peace. The only peace we can know is the peace in our heart and knowing Jesus Christ is our Savior. That's the only peace that we'll ever know in this lifetime. They can holler world peace, nation peace. They can holler all the peace they want. It's always going to be a war, a battle, and a conflict as long as there's evil.